Thank you, Lord, for the sunshine today to help us in our spirits, Lord. Some of us have been down the last couple of days. I know I have, and the sunshine looks great and it feels great, Lord. And we're so grateful for it. And Father, now we pray that you would just light up our lives with your words so that we would understand better what you've done for us and better how to serve you. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, so last week we went through what this word elect refers to in the Bible, and we saw that depending on where you are in the scriptures, elect could be referring to a number of different things. We went through four of them, and it could be referring to angels. It could be referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. This word elect could be referring to the nation of Israel, or it could be referring to the church, which makes up all born-again believers since the death of Christ, okay? Some may argue about that. I believe that, and that's... But now, all born-again believers make up the body of Christ, as specified in Colossians. We'll go there. We didn't look some of these verses up for the sake of time, but we'll go look them up today, and then we'll move on. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians... Colossians 1:23, the Bible says, if ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Okay, so there you have a confession and mission by Paul, who was speaking, I'm sure, of under the Holy Ghost, or the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? And so he's speaking under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and there's a confession there that the church is the body of Christ. Now, further reference that saved people are part of the Lord Jesus Christ's body is found in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5:29. And it's good to look these verses. Sometimes we just blow through and we just say things, but a lot of times we need to sit down and take the time and look it up. And so if we don't get to it this week, we'll get to it next week. We got plenty of time left here, hopefully, huh? So Ephesians 5:29, the Bible says, "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." And so, if you're part of the Lord Jesus Christ's body, you're not only given salvation and eternal life and everlasting life, but you're given titles of the Lord Jesus Christ, such as elect, okay? And not only that, but king, capital K-I-N-G. And capital L-O-R-D. I mean, look, if you would, in Revelations 19. First of all, we'll go to the elect one, 1 Peter. 1:12. A couple of verses over. 1 Peter 1:12. Is it 1:12 or is it 1:1? 1:1. The Bible says, "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ." I forgot to put the comma there. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace, be multiplied." Okay? Now go with me and see some titles that are given to saved people. Saved people. Revelations 19:16. Verse 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. This is at Jesus' second coming. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isn't that something? When you get into Jesus Christ, you get some of his titles. You get some of his titles, folks. And all of this is given and done along with much, much more to those that are undeserving, right? That's us, undeserving, and sinners, and they're given to us by God, all because we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We believe on his Son. The Bible says, but by the grace of God, right? If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would all be hopelessly lost and damned. And so, as we can see, there's a lot that can be learned, folks, from just one word when it's studied out and taken through the Bible. And such is this word elect. And after studying this word, we should come to the conclusion that there's only two groups of individuals here that John could be referring to as he gives his salutation or he gives his greeting to this lady here. Logically and sensibly, if you look at it, it cannot be angels because they don't have any children, right? And if you break it down even further, it's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would any instructions be given to the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so there's only two other groups, and that would be the nation of Israel and the people that make up that nation, and the church, and all those that make up the church. And so it looks like here this because, first of all, you have a marriage, okay, between the Lord Jesus Christ. Right, we've went through that a little bit, but there's a marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not the bride, right? He is the bridegroom, and so we can rule out that Jesus Christ is a lady, right? Because he's not the bride; he's the bridegroom. And not only that, but we can rule out that God, who is married to Israel, he was married to Israel once, and then divorced Israel. Look, if you would. Isaiah 54:5. And the church is referenced as the bride of Christ. God the Father is in a marriage between Israel. What does I say? Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. See if I can get to it fast. 54:5. The Bible says, For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is thy name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. And so the nation of Israel is referenced as God's wife, however, this nation was divorced by God. Okay, that's found in Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah 3:8. Jeremiah 3:8. The Bible says, and I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. Okay? And so the nation of Israel is still under this divorcement. They're still under this bill of divorcement. And so even though God's wife was unfaithful to God, and so much so that God gave this nation a bill of divorcement, he promises to remain faithful, okay? Remain faithful to her in his relationship as a husband. And later on in the future, their husband-wife relationship will be reestablished. Look, if you would, in Hosea. Hosea 2:16. The Bible says there, "And it shall be that shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ishai, and shalt call me no more Bailey, or is it Bailey? For I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. And in that day I will make a covenant for them with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of the heaven, and with the creeping things of the ground. And I will break the bow and the sword and the battle out of the earth, and will make them to lie down safely." Okay, so we see the time period that is. That's going to be in the millennium. Again, Hosea 2:19. I think this word Ishai means husband. Is that what that? I think that's what that means. But there's a more Hosea 2. What is it? 19 or 20? Okay. "I will even betroth thee." There it is, right there. "I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness, and thou shalt know the Lord." And so they're betrothed again to the Lord God, and that will be in the millennium. Now moving on. 2 John, and so you can kind of see that Israel is referenced as in the feminine sense, and so is the bride of Christ, which is the church, okay? And so 2 John, the Bible says, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you." Grace be with you. Now, there's a lot to this word, grace, okay? And before we go too far into it, grace can reference a period of time. Now, we all know what a grace period is, right? Grace period, like in a contract or in like an insurance policy of some sort. And basically, it's a period of time after a payment comes due, before one is subject to penalty or late charges, or before a loan or policy is canceled, okay? And so, so everybody kind of understands. We all understand we're in a period of grace right now, right? And this grace period is dependent upon how long you're going to live on this earth. It's not dependent upon, it's also dependent upon when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, but each person has a different period of grace that they're going to be allotted in their life. And that's to get right with the Lord. And look, if you would, in Galatians. Galatians. Galatians 5. There's a period of time for people today. Verse 4, Christ, okay, verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. But I testify again to every man that is circumcision, that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Right? "Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are, who are justified the law, or by the law. Ye are falling from grace." You're falling from this period of time that we're in. It's a grace period. And God chooses to give, at this particular point, from the time Jesus Christ died on the cross and was rose again the third day, from that point on, he's given everybody a period of time which is called grace. And then during that time period, you have a space in which to get right. Now, for some, like I said, it could be 30 years. For others, it could be 100 years. But I don't think any of us in here are going to live until Jesus Christ comes back if it's 2,000 years from now. Right? If it's 2,000 years from now, there's none of us going to be here. So you've got this time period, if you're not saved, to make sure that you are. Now look, if you would, in Ezra. Ezra 9:5. If I can find it. My memory is going. Ezra 9:5. The Bible says there, "And at the evening sacrifice I arose up from my heaviness, and having rent my garment and my mantle, I fell upon my knees and spread out my hands unto the Lord my God and said, O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God, for our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown up under the heavens. Since the days of our fathers have we been in great trespass unto this day, and for our iniquities have we, our kings and our priests, been delivered into the hands of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, and to a spoil, and to confusion of face, as it is this day. And now for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape, and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." And there's going to come a time when the nation of Israel will be in bondage, and they're going to be in darkness in Petra. And that's their space. That's going to be their grace period, where nobody's going to be able to touch them, because that there's going to be darkness upon the whole land. And then the Lord will come back and lighten up their eyes. Isn't that amazing? There's a space of time that comes in the future for the nation of Israel that God's going to show grace to them where they can get right. Okay? All right. So moving, going further. In this salutation or greeting to this elect lady and her children, he throws "grace be with you" at them. And now grace can be defined as God's favor toward the unworthy or undeserving. Grace is something that it's part of God's character. It's part of his character. And in God's grace, he is willing to forgive, and he's willing to bless. And he's willing to do these things abundantly, regardless of the fact that we don't deserve to be treated generously by him. We don't. We're all sinners, folks. And now when we look at the gospel of the good news, what are we trying to tell others about? What's the good news, right, of God's grace, right? We're trying to tell them about his grace. And because of that, it's important for us to know what grace is. And everybody in here probably does, but I mean, during this study, I found out how little I knew about it. Right? And without the grace of God, folks, we're in deep trouble. We're in deep trouble. And you can't really understand the grace of God until you understand what condition you were in before you received the grace of God. Right? And so, without the grace of God, we're all sinners deserving of an everlasting death, right? That's Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23. And we're all familiar with these verses, but we'll look them up anyway for the sake of time. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, we'll read 3:23 first. The Bible says, "Therefore all have sinned." There you go. Everybody's a sinner. All includes everybody, folks, except for the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. "And come short of the glory of God." right? Romans 6:23. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And so everybody deserves an eternal death. You die forever. That's what everybody deserves. That's what everybody deserves without the grace of God bestowed upon them through His Son. And there is none righteous, the Bible says, Romans 3:10. No, not one. None righteous. The Bible even goes further back, even to the point of the day that you and I were conceived. Right? We were conceived in sin. Conceived in sin. And because of this sin nature that is inherent in everyone that comes into this world, we all start out down the same path, folks. We all start off down the same path. And because of this sin in our lives, because we have sinned against a holy God and are enemies of God, right? According to the Scriptures, we're enemies because of our sins. We're not His friend. When we start off, everybody's His enemy. Everybody. Romans 8:7. Romans 8:7. The Bible says, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God." And so there's nothing good that we can do to justify, right? There's nothing good we can do to justify ourselves before a holy God. You can't. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can bring. Nothing I can bring. Look, if you would, Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. "Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." So there's nothing that we can do. We can do no good deed that is going to change how God sees us. We're not justified. And so without the grace of God, we're all in a big mess, folks. Big, big mess. Unclean and dead in trespasses and sin. Right? And so then comes the grace of God. After you see all that, you can see the grace of God. And you can, if you see that and you consider it, you can receive the grace of God. But then comes the grace of God. Now, without God and His Christ, there is no hope, folks, for any. And that's found in Ephesians 2:12. There's no hope. We were all without hope, without God, without Jesus Christ. Now, imagine, if you would, a God without grace towards the unclean. What if God didn't have any grace? And the unclean came to Him. And the unrighteous and the defiled, sinners, which we all are classified as such, right? Without Christ, we're all classified as such. And where would you go? And what would be your end with a God without grace? All right. Now, aren't you glad that there is a place in God's heart? Right. There's an ingrained character and an attitude in God's heart whereby He deals with sinners, right, in order to save them. That's an amazing thing. I don't understand it, right? I don't understand it, but it's there. And God gives it to, He gives it to everybody, but not everybody receives it. Not everybody receives it. And again, God isn't saving the righteous. He's saving the unrighteous, folks. Those that were friends and companions of the world, not friends of God. That's who He's saving. Those that spend their time fulfilling the lust of their flesh and not lusting after and fulfilling the righteousness. That's the bunch that God is saving. How? By the grace of God. Look, if you would, in Ephesians. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, start off in verse 1. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, friends with the world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's the bunch that he's leading, the devil. And now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as other. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay? And so we see this grace is a gift from God. God gives it to you. He gives it to everybody. But not everybody receives it. And grace is the essence. It's the theme of the gospel, is it not? It's the theme of it. And we, as Christians, just like Paul, we are ambassadors of the gospel. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors. Right? That's who we are. If you're saved, you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And again, look, if you would, in Acts 20. Acts 20. Acts 20. Verses 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he was an ambassador to. He was an ambassador to the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what we are ambassadors to. And we're the ones that go out and show people the grace of God, okay? And so what God gives is what you could never earn. That's what God gives. He gives that to everybody. And he offers it to everybody. And now for everybody that has received the Lord Jesus Christ, they have received the grace of God and have received the Holy Spirit of God according to 2 John 2. The Bible says, for truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. If you're saved, you have something inside of you, the Holy Ghost, right? And if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you have God inside of you, folks. In the person of the Holy Ghost, right? And if God has the character of grace in his heart, and God is living in you as the Holy Ghost, guess what quality you get? Right? Isn't that something? You obtain the same quality that God has, which is grace. Grace. When you receive the grace of God freely, you get his grace. You do. The carnal man only thinks of the needs of himself. But the spiritual man, the inner man, the man that's connected to your spirit, the Holy Spirit, thinks about the needs of others. They do. They think about the needs of others. And so the question is will we allow the grace of God, which is freely given to all, to take control of our lives so that we freely give to others. Think about that. Look, if you would, in John. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. John 1. Verses 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus Christ walked on the face of this earth, he had a heart full of grace and truth. He had a heart full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ had a heart to freely give of himself for all. And that's what he did. That's what he did. Jesus Christ left all the riches in heaven. He had it. He had everything up there. And what did he have down here? He was poor. He didn't have anything, right? Left everything he had up in heaven, and he became poor on this earth for all. And he was gracious, right? And his life was a reflection of the grace that he had. And he gave of himself. He gave of himself. Of his time, of his power, he healed, of his life, of all the riches in heaven. Why? So people could obtain the grace of God, which would not only save them, but would also change them into a gracious people. Because by nature, we're not gracious, folks. We're not. And so what is the manifestation of the grace of God in our lives? Well, if we hold it to Jesus, the manifestation of what Jesus had, he gave up everything that he had for others. And what do we allow the Holy Spirit of God to allow us to give up for others? Right? Our time? It's not always money. A lot of us don't even have any money. Right? But it's not only money. It's time. It's just being giving. And if you... Listen, folks, we've all been given gifts by God when you were saved. We've all been given these gifts. It's found in Romans 12. All been given gifts. And if you haven't found your gift, and you've been saved for a long period of time, then maybe we got more. But if you don't even know what your gifts are, maybe we need to start looking in the Bible a little bit more and seeing what the Lord has for us. Romans 12:6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaches, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. We've all been given that gift, right? Not necessarily money. I'm not talking about that, right? We've all been given that one. Let him do it with simply. He that ruleth with diligence. Hey, if you got a family, you're a ruler, right? He that showed mercy with cheerful. We can all show mercy. We can all show mercy. And even the rest of the chapter shows us how to live graciously towards others. But we all have these gifts, folks, and we can give them out, right? We can give them out. For the benefit of others, for the benefit of the gospel's sake. And God is able, he is able, to give those that have received his grace the ability to be gracious. Look, if you would, in 2 Corinthians, and we'll be done here. He's given everybody the ability to be gracious. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And folks, I'm looking in the mirror, so just so you know, if I'm looking this way and this way, I'm not looking at anybody individual. I'm looking at myself, because there's a lot of things that I got to be gracious about that I'm just not, and I got to get them things right. But anyway, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye having always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And folks, that's every good work towards others. It is. And towards God, but that's to others. We've been given the ability to be gracious towards others. Why? Because we have a character, a trait inside of us the moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and that is grace, and to be gracious. And we'll go ahead and stop there and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this little bit of truth here about grace. And Father, we just pray that we would be mindful of the things that you've done for us, and that we would apply these things to our lives so that we can be gracious towards others. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen.